Lecture 12, The Work of the Reformer.
In 1521, all of Europe is holding its breath. Martin Luther has confronted the emperor there at the Diet of Worms. Here I stand, I can't do anything else. And he's going back from Worms to Wittenberg, and he is kidnapped. It's a plot to actually keep him safe. It's actually a ruse. He ends up in the Wartburg, as you recall. But most people don't know that it's a friendly plot to keep him safe. They hear the rumor about him being kidnapped. They don't know what's happened. Europe holds its breath. Has Martin Luther been killed? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen to this immense, well, gospel movement that he got started, but it hasn't really gotten underway in any institutional way yet? The Reformation hasn't begun. We've just heard about it. Here's the reaction of Albrecht Dürer, the great German artist, when he hears of the kidnapping, but he doesn't know what's going to happen next. He writes in his journal, "I don't know if he's alive or if they've murdered him. He suffered for the sake of Christian truth, and because he rebuked that unchristian papacy, which strives to deprive us of the work of our blood and sweat, which is then shamefully consumed by idlers," those priests and so on. "If we lose this man, who has written more clearly than anyone else in centuries, may God grant his spirit to someone else. Oh God, if Luther is dead, who will ever proclaim so clearly to us the Holy Gospel? What might he have written for us in the next 10 or 20 years?" Well, Dürer gets to find out. Luther does a lot of writing, maybe not as important as the theological treatises of the 1520s, but in another sense, they're not as theologically important, but they're terribly important for the shaping of German culture and church life, the things he writes in the 1520s. He writes dozens of hymns. He writes two catechisms. And most importantly of all, he starts translating the Bible. He starts this in the Wartburg in 1521. He completes the whole translation of the complete Bible in 1534. But he already has the complete New Testament translated and ready to be printed in September of 1522. The task of the Reformer, the work of the Reformer, is to bring God's word to the people, the kind and gracious word of the gospel. And to do that, you need to have God speaking in German. So the opening wedge of the whole Reformation really is that moment when the words of institution, "This is my body given for you," are spoken in German, not in Latin, so that the Mass doesn't seem like some kind of magic being done by this special magician called the priest. It seems much more like Jesus Christ telling you this is his body and it's given for you. And of course, that's exactly Luther's intention. God's going to speak German so that people can hear his word and get that word in their hearts. His Bible, published, the New Testament, beginning in 1522, published in September, is a huge success. It's printed many times, it's revised many times, and his Catholic opponents take notice of this. They complain. Here's one of his Catholic opponents writing in the 1520s. "Even tailors and shoemakers, indeed women and other simple idiots who had accepted this Lutheran gospel, though they could read only a little German, they read it eagerly as if it were a foundation of all truth. Some carried it in their bosoms and learned it by heart. Thus they claimed within a few months such skill and experience that without timidity they debated not only Catholic laymen but also with priests and monks." Right? Ordinary people got to know the Bible well enough that they could debate with priests and monks. This Catholic theologian did not like that at all. And of course, Luther, that's exactly his intention. Right? Let ordinary people know enough of the Bible that they can know it better than the priests and the monks. And to do that, you have to make God speak good German. To do that, of course, you have to know how to speak good German yourself. Luther has an extraordinary gift for words. His German is extraordinarily, well, powerful, vigorous, pure, simple. He, in fact, boasts of the fact that he teaches even his opponents how to speak German. Well, how does he learn to speak good German? He learns by listening. All of Luther's life is about words, speaking and hearing, and he's such a good speaker because he is a great listener. He says that if you want to know how to translate the Bible, you don't go back to the old Latin Bible, which all of the academic people of Luther's time would know. We don't need to inquire of the literal Latin how to speak German. Rather, says Luther, we must ask the mother in the home, the children on the street, the common man in the marketplace. We must be guided by their language, the way they speak, and do our translating accordingly. That way, they will understand it, and they'll recognize that we're speaking German to them.